Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty present the Underdog Podcast.
Welcome everybody in for another edition of the Underdog Dynasty Sun Belt Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Stone, back as always with my co-host, Matt Miguez. Matt, say hello to everybody at home.
What's up, Sun Belt Nation? Brian, as always, happy to be here. And it's a Louisiana Raging Cajuns game day.
Absolutely. So we're recording this on Wednesday, I would say about, let's see, what was it? About an hour or in some change, maybe hour and a half before game time of the Louisiana Coastal Carolina game. So more than likely, you know, or almost certainly once everyone hears this, the game will have already happened. But just be sure to note that we are making these predictions before the game actually has kicked off. We are not, if anything proves to be correct, we are not retroactively making ourselves seem smarter than we actually are. Let's jump into this previous weekend of games. Really only three Sun Belt games on the slate, with a lot of teams having to move their games around and things like that. Just three games, and so starting from the top, it looks like here, Louisiana Monroe's rough season just continues to get worse every single week. They took on Liberty, Hugh Freeze's team. I think the most notable stat I took away from this one is 21 of Liberty's 40 points in the win came from defense and special teams. So again, UL Monroe, tough go of it.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a long day for Monroe when their punter couldn't even handle a snap. When I saw that go down, I knew that they were in a hole that they couldn't dig themselves out of. And, you know, I can remember last year, you know, Liberty came to Cajun Field last year, and it was a great, you know, the scoreboard obviously didn't show it. We ended up winning 35-14, but you know, Liberty is a formidable opponent. They were last year. I think they are this year. I mean, they're off to their first 4-0 start, I think I read in 15 years. And so I knew Monroe would have their hands full. I didn't expect it to get out of hand so early though.
I mean, I know from firsthand experience, Liberty is a good football team. Georgia Southern played them in the Cura Bowl last year, and they had an answer for everything that Georgia Southern threw at them, and thoroughly outplayed us. So I know that they are a good football team. You know, if it wasn't for outside circumstances, it's almost certain Hugh Freeze would still be employed at Ole Miss, and he was giving Nick Saban issues there for a stretch of time when they had, you know, Bo Wallace and even Chad Kelly and things like that. So, I mean, he's a good coach who's probably coaching below his actual standards. Now, like I said, there's some off the field stuff that kind of led to him being let go from the Ole Miss job, but he wasn't let go because he's an unsatisfactory coach, and he's built Liberty up into what I think is a pretty strong independent football team.
Yeah, definitely, you know, one of the top independents in the country. You know, there's been some rumors, especially this year with the success that the Sun Belt had, that Liberty could be joining the Sun Belt soon, which I think that is a win for the Sun Belt athletically and academically. I think both ways that boosts the conference. So, I would definitely – I'd have no issues with playing Liberty every year or every other year.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense from – like you said, it definitely makes sense from an athletic standpoint. You know, the when the only reservation you have is that you just don't want to play their football team every year, because they're typically field a good team under Freeze, that's pretty much a good sign. So, but getting back into this game, Liberty was able to run away with it. It was pretty much never close, 40-7 over the Warhawks. Liberty accounted for 400 total yards. ULM didn't even reach half that mark. They ended up benching Colby Suits and putting Jeremy Hunt in the game. Jeremy Hunt led them to their only touchdown drive in this game. Do you see any chance at all that it gets any easier for UL Monroe this year, or do you think that they're going to go winless?
I don't know that they're going to go winless. I don't see them getting more than one, though, if they get one at all. You know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The longer that they stay at this level of competition without a serious financial investment, they're going to struggle for a very long time. Mm-hmm. They just don't have the ability to compete with the teams that have been developed in the Sun Belt, like Louisiana, like a Georgia Southern, you know, teams and schools that every year commit a serious financial investment to their athletic programs. Monroe's just not doing that. Whether the fans aren't donating it, or, you know, former athletes aren't contributing, whatever it may be, they just don't have the budget that these other programs have. So, like I said, the longer that they stay in this fairy tale world that they can keep up, I mean, yeah, they're going to win one, maybe two games a year consistently.
I think it's tough to, you know, I don't want to repeat things that we've said on previous episodes. I think it's tough to, especially when they see the teams like South Alabama and like Texas State. I mean, say what you want, Texas State's 1-4 this year. They have been competitive in football games, and, you know, outside of a Georgia Southern choke job 2 weeks ago, UL Monroe really hasn't been competitive this year.
No.
And so, I mean, I agree with what you say. You know, they're going to really have to reassess themselves as a football program if they want to keep existing at the FBS level. This game, you know, like I said, not really a whole lot to talk about. They struggled to throw the ball. They struggled to run the ball. I guess the best thing that we can do is just kind of quit harping on it and move on from this one. Liberty moved to 4-0 with the win. UL Monroe dropped to 0-5 this year. Getting into the only Sun Belt on Sun Belt action of this past weekend, Troy hosted Texas State, and Troy was able to come away with a 37-17 victory. Gunnar Watson in this one, 4 touchdown passes, 338 yards. You know, it looks bad coming off of me just saying that Texas State's been better, but, you know, who knows how good Troy is? I mean, you know, outside of, you know, really getting beaten down by BYU, you know, they're 2-1. They should have played another game against South Alabama. Maybe that would have been a better gauge of how good of a team they are. But, I mean, they could be a formidable Sun Belt team this year for sure.
Yeah, no question. Because, I mean, in my opinion, I think Texas State's a formidable Sun Belt opponent. I mean, yeah, they're 1-4, but two of those games that they lost, they really gave away.
Especially the Boston College game.
That
sure.
Went away. SMU at the beginning of the year, you had plenty of chances to win the game, and you just didn't. So, like, really, really and truly, after this Troy loss, they should have been 3-2.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Texas State is a formidable opponent. I think this game showed a lot of people that Troy can contend this year with the higher programs, and who knows, they could contend for the East Division.
Yeah, I mean, the talent with them has never really been an issue.
It's a coaching issue for sure.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is a coaching issue. We talked about it in the season preview. You know, a big issue with them was their defense last year. You know, they could score points in bunches. They just couldn't stop a nosebleed, and that was, you know, their real big Achilles heel. If they field even an average defense this year, I mean, this team could be, on a normal year, I would say maybe like an 8-4, 9-3 type team. Like, that's the level that I think they can play at. I think Gunnar Watson's a good quarterback. I think that, you know, they have kind of a rotating cast of running backs. And in this one, you saw Kimani Vidal kind of secure the backfield in this one. But DK Billingsley, BJ Smith, all three of these guys can run the ball. They have Kalen Geiger, who went for 120 and a score in this one. I mean, they have offensive weapons. If they can even field an average level defense, this team can be for real.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, you talk about Gunnar Watson, who's off to a phenomenal start this year. I just want to say, you know, any quarterback can look good when you've got a kid like Kalen Geiger lined up at wideout. I mean, Geiger is just, in my opinion, he's a next level talent. And he's definitely going to be playing on Sundays in the future. But, yeah, you know, I agree with you. The offense has never been the issue for Troy. Troy's always been able to score points. It's scoring more than the opposition that has been the problem.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going back to what was it? The highlighted example that we gave in the preview was Arkansas State playing Troy. And I think that final score last year was like 51-48. Well, if your defense even gives you one stop in that game, like, you're right in it or you're winning. And right. It's just like, you know, they've done a better job of that this year. I mean, clearly, like, if you just look at the stats from this game, they held Brady McBride to under 100 yards passing. He threw the ball 28 times. So he averaged 3.3 yards per attempt. So, I mean, if one area of their defense – and their run defense wasn't bad either. I mean, Texas State ran for 161. But, I mean, if they lose by 20, who cares, you know? So – I mean, if their defense has taken these next level strides, I don't mean to keep repeating it, but I mean, they could be a top two, top three team in the East. I mean, it seems like App has maybe lost a little bit of a step, and who knows, like, what this huge COVID outbreak in Boone is gonna do to the outlook of their season the rest of the way. So. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, you know, that COVID outbreak, man, everything that's going on in Boone right now is scaring the you-know-what out of me, because, you know, I was talking about it with a buddy the other day. We were supposed to play App last week. Now, tentatively, it's December 5th. The issue with that is, say the conference championship ends up the way it has the last 2 years, where it's Louisiana and App. We have to play App State twice in a 14-day span.
In other conferences, that's happened before. I'm fairly sure the American has had that happen.
That just scares the, you know, I don't want to play them once, much less twice.
Well, from a Georgia Southern fan to a Louisiana fan, our game got moved with App as well. I kind of posed this question to my wife the other day when we didn't even know at that point when I asked this question that Georgia Southern was going to play, Massachusetts this weekend, this upcoming weekend. I said, how long can they keep pushing these games down the road until, like, either the conference championship game has to be moved or they're going to play the conference championship game, and then one of those teams might have to play another Sun Belt game.
Yeah.
You know? So how long can you kick the can down the road and say, ah, we'll just do it in December? It's like, well, after a while, there's not going to be any December weekends left to take.
Right.
So,
yeah, the game's already been pushed back to the 19th.
The Sun Belt Championship game at this rate is going to be a New Year's Six Bowl.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, Louisiana and Coastal tonight's technically the Big 12 championship game, so.
That is fair. That is fair. No, it needs to be like an old WWF triple threat match, and you just throw Arkansas State on the field randomly for like every third drive, and then it's like Big 12 championship game.
With App State as the special guest referee. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So looking at the rest of this game, I mean, Troy moves to 2-1 and 1-0 in conference play. They pick up their first Sun Belt win of the year. Texas State drops to 1-4, 1-1 in conference play. The last game from last weekend, no real surprise here. There was a bit of a talent differential, but Arkansas State hosts FCS Central Arkansas, beat them pretty thoroughly by a score of 50-27. Again, not really sure what to say here. Central Arkansas is a good FCS school, but they're one of these FCS schools that you can tell that they don't have the talent of a group of five school. And I think they just played their last game of the season last weekend. So either way, they knew their year was over with COVID and everything. So good win for Arkansas State. It really didn't help resolve any of the quarterbacking carousel that Arkansas State likes to run, because both Lane Hatcher and Logan Bonner threw three touchdowns apiece, and their completions and attempts were almost identical. So, you say it almost every week, two quarterbacks don't have one. Well, they I guess have two, because they're like identical.
Yeah, it's working. You know, I don't know if they're listening to us talk about this, and every time I say that famous quote, Lane Hatcher and Logan Bonner look at each other and say, "Hold our beers." But I mean, it seems to be working in Jonesboro. But credit Central Arkansas. Obviously, you know, between the FCS and even the G5, there's a clear talent differential. But, I mean, Central Arkansas put up a fight. Their quarterback threw for 300 yards and two touchdowns. And actually, this was not their last game of the year. I don't know what their schedule looks like from now until the end of the season, but I do know that on November 21st, they will be in Lafayette to take on Louisiana.
Yeah. Looking at their schedule the rest of the year, they have a pretty good run of it. Like you said, they play you guys, but I mean, the rest of the season, there are only really two, I guess, cakewalk, easy type of wins would be Louisiana Monroe, Texas State, and then if you want to put South Alabama in that category, that's how they end the year with those three teams. But there's a run in there of Georgia State, App, Troy, and Louisiana. So that's a pretty challenging four-game stretch there for the Red Wolves.
Yeah, that's wow. Georgia State, App, Troy, and Louisiana.
Yeah, and I think due to COVID, that those are consecutive weekends.
Hell, Arkansas State might not win a game in that stretch.
it might be the case. I mean, but you never know. They could catch Troy and get into another 51-48 game where it's just last team with the ball wins.
Yeah, you might be able to catch Troy. You might be able to catch Georgia State napping, but I mean, App in Louisiana, I don't see that happening.
I think if the game wasn't at App, I think they would have a solid shot. If they were playing in Jonesboro, I think that would be a coin flip. I think App would have the edge at home, but Arkansas State on the road at App, I don't know. I don't feel comfortable really picking anybody at App. Like, it's such a hard place to play. You're dropped kind of in the middle of that. I mean, a canyon of mountains is probably the best way for me to put how their stadium. I mean, it's beautiful. I've been to Boone, but like, yeah, it's a tough place to play for opposing schools for sure. But yeah, I mean, Jonathan Adams Jr. once again did his best, you know, I don't even Megatron impression, I guess would be the best way to put it. Six catches, 101, two touchdowns. And Dahu Green followed him up with six catches for 94 and two scores. You know, we said this about Troy. I'll say the same thing about Arkansas State. If they can field even an average defense, this team is going to be dangerous because they can score with anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Blake Anderson's always put talent together in Jonesboro. I mean, hell, he did it when he was an offensive coordinator here at Louisiana. So, yeah, I mean, they're always competitive in the conference. I know when they come to Lafayette or we go to Jonesboro, that's always a fun game. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they handle the tough schedule that they've been handed because of COVID. But, yeah, I mean, especially for the future, the Red Wolves look promising.
Yeah, for sure. So moving into this next weekend slate of games, actually beginning with tonight's contest, Coastal travels to take on York Cajuns. The line has actually moved. Louisiana was a 7.5-point favorite. Now they're sitting at 9 points. Say what you want about who's going to win and lose this game. Do you feel like from a betting perspective, 9 points is too many to give an undefeated Coastal team?
Depends on who you talk to. Me, yes, I think that's too high. However, and I don't say this in taking – I don't want to take anything away from Coastal. They are a great football team. However, their three wins, only one of them has truly been impressive.
You're not counting the Kansas win is impressive?
I mean, yes, it's a Power 5 win, but it's – Kansas. I mean, Nichols State went up to Lawrence and won a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, Big 12 win. I can't discredit that, but it's the laughingstock of Division I college football. Campbell, again, formidable opponent. However, they're FCS. Mm-hmm. And then Arkansas State.
Yep.
Arkansas State was an impressive win. However, sure. we don't know yet how good Arkansas State truly is, but that was an impressive win.
I think holding Arkansas State to just 23 points is fairly impressive in and of itself. You know, I agree with what you said. We don't know how good of a team Arkansas State is, but like I said, holding them to just 23 points, they contained Lane Hatcher, who was their leading passer, to 184 yards. I think anytime you shut down that passing game, you need to be commended because it's not easy.
No question about it. No question about it. You know, as a Louisiana fan looking at this game, you know, I'm nervous. Granted, I'm nervous for every game, but you know, Coastal is a freaky opponent in all three phases. You know, on offense, they've got Grayson McCall, who I've said since the season previews was going to have a big year, and he's done exactly that. Receivers, you know, they got a guy like Javon Haley that can really step up and make an impact. C.J. Marable at running back was all-conference last year. Defensively, you got Taron Jackson, Silas Kelly. Their one weakness defensively is their secondary. Their secondary is bad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the basic, you know, one-line scouting report, if that's such a thing, throw the ball. Mm-hmm. throw the ball, beat them through the air, and you should win the football game. Granted, that's not Louisiana's bread and butter. So tonight's going to be interesting to see what Billy Napier and Rob Sale can draw up for Levi Lewis in this offense to see. You know, this is going to be a game where a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, Louisiana's gotten a big win over Iowa State, but I don't know how truly legit they are. Well, you know, on ESPN tonight, there's the chance to show the entire country just how legit you are.
So getting into this game, I mean, from my perspective, you know, I think 9 points is too many. I think these teams are more closely matched than the odds makers think. I do think Louisiana wins this game. I think it's going to be close. I mean, I think it's going to be about a touchdown deficit. But, you know, when you look at Louisiana's schedule, and you can speak more to this, obviously, than I could because you watch them way more closely than I do. It's weird to look at their schedule and see that their biggest win, and I'm talking when I say biggest, I don't mean in magnitude, I mean in score, is against Iowa State, who was ranked at the time. Their last two games, they've won, you know, against Georgia State and Georgia Southern by a combined 5 points. So I think that they break out of their shell a little bit, but I think Coastal Carolina is good enough to keep it close, even if it's one of those backdoor cover type situations where Louisiana's up by two touchdowns for much of the game, and then Coastal kind of scores late and makes it a touchdown game and makes it look closer than it actually is. So I like Louisiana in this one. I do think they win. I, from a betting perspective, like I said, I just think 9 points is too many.
Yeah, I agree. When it dropped down to six, I thought that was fair. Because like you said, I think it's going to end up being kind of like a touchdown game. But I think it's going to be a offensively dominant game. You know, I think this could be a game where you see 45-38 as the final score.
So I have a question for you, and take off your Louisiana fan hat and just put on kind of a unbiased take.
Ooh,
for me.
Okay.
With the games that have been scheduled and rescheduled and canceled and postponed and all that, is this so far the biggest Sun Belt game that we've had? Because they're the two most evenly matched teams that have faced off with one another, in my opinion. So I think this is the biggest Sun Belt game that we'll have for a while with, you know, games like Louisiana and App got moved, Georgia Southern and App got moved, you know, things like that. Coastal Carolina beat Arkansas State, but, you know, we don't know how good Arkansas State is. Do you think this is the best quality Sun Belt game we'll have for a bit?
Yeah, I definitely agree that it's the best we've had thus far. Because like you said, the two programs are just so evenly matched. And yeah, you know, I think that it'll be one of the best ones we have for a while. You know, tomorrow night, Georgia State and Arkansas State, I think that can be a great game. You know, that's definitely one to keep an eye on if you're looking for a good football game. But, yeah, again, going back to the original question, Louisiana Coastal Carolina is definitely the most intriguing Sun Belt game that we've had so far this year.
So, getting into this next game, you know, you mentioned it. You know, I think from just a quality football watching perspective, I think Georgia State and Arkansas State is a fun game because, again, the over-under for this one is like 73 points, which means, you know, Vegas is expecting a ton of points to be scored. I think it's a fun game. I think from a quality perspective, it's not the best game. You know what I mean? So that's one of the reasons, going back to my previous question, is I think it's Coastal and Louisiana, just because the both teams are undefeated. They've both beaten quality Sun Belt opponents so far. That's kind of my take on it. But getting into Georgia State, Arkansas State, which you mentioned, Arkansas State 3.5-point favorites here at home. I personally am not still sure what to make of Georgia State yet, just because they've played two games all year. They lost to you guys by three in overtime, and then crushed East Carolina. But again, I don't know how good East Carolina is either. So, I mean, I think this is kind of a show me game for both teams. I think you're going to learn a lot about both of Georgia State and Arkansas State and where each of those teams stand in relation to the rest of the conference.
Yeah. I think this is going to be the game where Arkansas State figures out what their quarterback situation is. That might come back to bite me in the ass, because I've said that numerous times, and here we are, they're still playing two quarterbacks. But, you know, Georgia State, defensively, they're a good team. You know, Trajan Stevens McQueen might be one of the most underrated linebackers in the conference. And so I think that if you're Arkansas State, this is going to be the game where, going forward, you're down to a one quarterback system and you figure out who you want to hand the keys or the offense to. But yeah, like you mentioned, over under 72.5. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. Definitely be an entertaining one.
So I have an interesting question to ask you and to pose. For some of these teams, this is Georgia State's third game of the year. This is Arkansas State's fifth game of the year. Obviously, the schedule has been moved around a lot. Is it too early to say that whoever loses this game is kind of taken out of contention for their side of the Sun Belt bracket?
Whoever loses this game?
Yeah. Is it too early? Because one of these teams is going to move to 0-2 in the Sun Belt, which is going to kind of put them behind the eight ball, especially when you have, you know, Louisiana. Let's hypothetically say Louisiana loses on Wednesday night. They're only 2-1 in Sun Belt play. Coastal Carolina would be 2-0, or vice versa. Coastal Carolina drops that game, they move to 1-1. Georgia State or Arkansas State, one of these teams is going to go to 0-2 in their side. And it's going to be hard to kind of climb out of that hole. I'm kind of wondering at this point, with the way that everything's going to shake out, the teams are pretty evenly matched, I feel like. But for example, Georgia State's schedule the rest of the way is pretty brutal. I don't see them winning out after this game. So I think they'll drop one of, you know, Troy, Coastal, App, Georgia Southern. They're dropping one or two of those games, or all of them. I mean, it can go either way. So do you think that one of these teams is going to be taken out of contention for their side of the Sun Belt with a loss here?
I think, barring a monumental collapse from, you know, Louisiana, App State, Georgia Southern, yeah, I think the loser of this game is they can clear December 19th off of their schedule.
Yeah, and we went over Arkansas' schedule briefly. They have that murderer's row four-game stretch. So, they're almost certainly going to lose another Sun Belt game. I mean, between App, Troy, Louisiana, you know, they play Georgia State, that there's going to be a loss in there somewhere. And with three losses already in like six games, five games, I just don't see it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think this is a must-win game, which is weird to say, you know, three games into a season for Georgia State. I think it's a must-win game for both sides. I think, like you said, you can kind of clear your weekend schedule off for championship weekend if you lose this game.
Yeah. Like you said, with the schedule that they have coming down the stretch, falling that far behind, again, barring a monumental collapse from one of the top dogs, There's no shot.
Yeah.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So moving through, let's get into Saturday's list of games. Texas State at noon travels to take on South Alabama. This is going to be interesting because I don't really know what to make of either of these teams at this state. They both seem to have started off the season hot and regressed from there. So obviously South Alabama, you know, we talked about them. They beat Southern Miss in the opener. They followed that up by blowing that game to Tulane that they had won, it felt like. And then they just got smoked by UAB. Their game with Troy got postponed. Texas State, this will be game number 6, unbelievably, for them. But, you know, some close losses, a win over ULM, and then they get smoked by Troy last week. So this is going to be interesting because I want to see where these two teams stack up.
Yeah, you know, I think Texas State is better than their record indicates, you know, because like I mentioned earlier, there was two games that they easily should have won and just didn't. So I think they're a better football team than what they look like on paper. But, yeah, you know, so you talked about South Alabama losing that what seemed like a sure win game against Tulane. This will be, like you said, this will be a game where you're going to figure out who's a good football team. Because, you know, when your back's against the wall, like both programs are right now, the good football team find a way to win.
Yeah.
A perfect example. I hate to bring this up for you, but the Louisiana Georgia Southern game. As a Louisiana fan, I will 100% admit we should not have won that game.
I mean, on the other side of things, from a Georgia Southern perspective, I 100% was waiting for us to blow that game, and we did.
So we found a way to get it done. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's what, you know, Texas State, South Alabama is going to be. Who can find a way late in the game to scratch out a win?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So going into our second to last game on Saturday, Troy hosts Eastern Kentucky. I don't foresee any issues here for Troy. I think they're pretty much going to run the Colonels out of the stadium. The Colonels have had one of those weird seasons where they are an FCS team. That is going to play a handful of games and then say sayonara to the rest of the year. So, you know, I think it's going to pretty much just be an offensive showcase for Troy. I mean, how much do we really need to talk about that?
Not at all. Troy's going to win big. End of story.
Yeah, I don't think this game needs to be looked at.
And if Troy doesn't win big, all respect to Chip Lindsey. I met him at Sunbelt Media Day last year. Great guy. If Troy loses this game, I think Chip Lindsey needs to be shown the door.
It's kind of early, don't you think?
That's kind of embarrassing, don't you think?
Well, I mean, there have been coaches that have taken worse losses than this and still, like, held on. So, I mean, I do 100% think it'd be embarrassing. However, I mean, you know, last year was kind of a wash. It was almost like a year zero from him. It felt like they were kind of starting over from Neil Brown's Troy teams. So this kind of feels like year one for Chip Lindsey more than last year did, because that team last year for Troy was so peaks and valleys. Like, you couldn't make heads or tails of what they were doing on a weekly basis. I mean, I don't think there's any chance that they lose this game, but I also don't think he's going to be fired, you know, 4 games into a COVID season where it's technically his second year.
Fun fact.
I just don't see it.
Fun fact, tickets via StubHub for this game are as low as $11.
Well, it is an FCS school coming to Troy during a COVID year. I'm not surprised I'm honestly surprised they're not cheaper than that. So going into this last game, this one was thrown together at the last minute. Georgia Southern is going to welcome UMass to Statesboro. UMass has not played a game this season. Georgia Southern is the only team they have on their schedule. Georgia Southern, a 31-point favorite. I will come out and say it right away. I would not bet on any Georgia Southern lines this year. After the UL Monroe performance, they have shown they cannot hold a lead. So if you are betting on Georgia Southern, you are doing betting wrong.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't bet on Georgia Southern. However, you know, 31-point favorite against a team like UMass. Let's be totally honest. Can you remember the last time UMass won a football game?
Well, it would have had to have been.
Did they win last year?
I mean, I can look it up. Let me look. But yeah, so I mean, you know, Georgia Southern did this, you know, a week or two ago, whatever it is. Time doesn't mean anything to me at this point. They won a game last year. UMass beat Akron in like week five.
I'm seeing that, so 37-29.
Well, that was kind of the thing. UMass hasn't played a game this year. So, I mean, either way, the answer was going to be last year. But Georgia Southern did this against UL Monroe. I have no reason to believe that they just won't do the exact same thing again and let UMass hang around and make it closer than it needs to be. You know, they were up big on UL Monroe, and then they just kind of stopped playing football. And when your coach, who's supposed to be this rah-rah guy, allows your team to just kind of coast into a win that came down to the final play of regulation, I don't feel comfortable putting any points with Georgia Southern and taking that. So hammer UMass in this one. I don't see them losing by more than two touchdowns at the very most.
Oh, man.
I mean, did you catch any of the Georgia Southern Monroe game? I mean, I know we didn't have a podcast last time. We weren't able to talk about it.
I watched most of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was thoroughly embarrassing, to be totally honest.
Y'all should have lost.
Yeah.
I mean, if Monroe scored on that last play.
They didn't score, but, I mean, they probably should have put some time back on the clock and let them run another play.
I don't know. I think that ball broke the plane, man.
I can't agree with that, but yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, it's tough because it's like – it feels really like Lunsford and his entire staff is just feeling okay coasting on that 2018 season. I don't know how, if they're ever going to, it's so weird because he's this big fiery guy and then they get out on the field and they're just like, the whole team's like, we don't really care if we're out here or not.
Right.
So it's like, if you can't motivate them as a rah-rah type of coach, then what are we even wasting our time for here? Because right. You're not an X's and O's guy. You don't call plays on either side of the ball. So, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It'll be interesting to see if Georgia Southern can keep the gas pedal on the Minutemen.
For sure. So wrapping up. I don't even feel like I usually ask this question to close out the podcast. I don't even really feel like I need to as to what we're looking for this weekend. Obviously, Coastal Louisiana kicking off here in about an hour from when we're wrapping this up is going to be the biggest game of the weekend. And then Georgia State, Arkansas State is intriguing for a number of reasons to me. So, Matt, you have any final thoughts? And tell the folks where they can find you on social media.
The only final thought that I have is that my booze is getting iced down and I'm ready for a good football game.
Fair enough.
You can find me on social media at Miguez Matt. You can find my UL podcast at Rage and Review. And if you're a Barstool sports fan, I am now running the UL Barstool page. So you can find that on social media at Cajuns Barstool.
Good stuff. As always, you can find me on social media at Watch the Stone. My preview, I guess, for Georgia Southern UMass, which I sound depressed because I am depressed about this game, is going to come Friday morning. But yes, we will be back next week for another edition of the Underdog Dynasty Sunbelt Podcast.